Exodus chapter 30, this is the passage basically that talks about the golden altar of incense, and I've just titled it the golden altar of prayer. This is the altar of incense, but it is a very strong picture of prayer. Throughout the Bible, the altar is a picture of prayer. So Exodus chapter 30, I've divided this up into just three, hopefully simple ideas. Number one is the construction of the altar. Number two is the location of the altar. Number three is the duration of the altar, if I can say it that way. Doesn't quite fit, but let's just make a start. This is the construction of the altar. This is the golden altar of prayer. This is very instructive. I don't want this just to be some Sunday school lesson, if I can say it that way. This is supposed to encourage us to pray. I want this to be a tremendous encouragement, because when I thought through this, it was an encouragement to me, and it's even now as I'm struggling to want to even pray myself, I am being sort of prodded along by what I read here. So Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, give us the construction of this altar of incense. And I'm not going to read it all the way through, but the construction of this altar of incense is actually very symbolic in many ways. It's made out of shittim wood. It's a very special kind of wood. Other parts of the tabernacle furniture is made out of the same kind of wood. And it's known to be some sort of a hearty, hard, durable quality, even resistant to decay type of a wood. This is the kind of wood that we're talking about. And in the Bible, throughout the Bible, wood is always a picture of the humanity of Christ, at least in the realm of the tabernacle. Lots of things were made out of wood and overlaid with gold. This speaks of Christ. This is a picture of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the basis for all of our praying. We must not get away from this. Prayer isn't just us speaking to God in a vacuum, as it were. It is 100% based on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so when you see the construction of this altar made out of this resistant to decay wood, well, that speaks of the humanity of Christ and all of his perfection. But it's overlaid with gold, and that speaks always of deity. So you see the person of Christ with the wood, his perfect humanity, and then with the gold, his perfect deity. And this is the basis of our praying. Let's never forget that. Quickly on to the second point is the location of the altar. And so if we go down to verse 6, we see that thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Where is this altar of incense located? Okay, so if you know your way around the tabernacle, it's this sort of rectangular construction that's divided into two rooms. Many of you already know this. The first section is the holy place, and it makes up two-thirds of the building. If you can think of the tabernacle as thirds, it makes up two-thirds of the building. Then there's a veil, and then you have the Holy of Holies, which is the one-third. It's a perfect square in there. It's a one-third. You got the veil, two-thirds. Okay? So in this first room, it's where you have the table of showbread, you have the candlestick, and then you have the, according to here in verse 6, the location of the golden altar of incense. It says that thou shalt put it before the veil. And then on the other side, you have the Ark of the Covenant. That is representative of the immediate presence of God is right there. And only the high priest could go in there once a year, not without blood, the Day of Atonement. Okay? So this golden altar of incense appears right there before the veil, right next to the veil. But it's in that holy place, the first room. Or is it? Okay, this is why this is so interesting to me. You would think that it's right there in that first compartment. But if you go over to Hebrews chapter 9, and this was fascinating to me, our own pastor last week was preaching through Hebrews 9, and I only noticed this then, and I was like, wait a second. In Hebrews 9, it seems to suggest that the golden altar of incense is in the second room, that second compartment. Well, in verse 2, it says, there was a tabernacle made, the first room wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, Hebrews 9, verse 4 now, which had the golden censer. There it is. Wait a second. And the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold. Why do we see in Hebrews 9 that the golden altar of incense is in the holiest of all, and yet in Exodus 30 and other places, like Exodus 40, it's clearly in the first room? Doesn't that seem a little odd? And one might think, well, errors in the Bible. No, I actually believe that there's a wonderful truth in this. Quite wonderful. And I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. But this is the only piece of furniture where this is true. Where in one part of the Bible you see that it's inside the holiest of all, and the other part you see it's inside the holy place. Both. And I would say that prayer, without stretching this too much, is the only spiritual discipline that crosses the line between earth and heaven. And the more I meditated on that, the more I'm convinced of this. And the more I think this is a beautiful thing, quite beautiful, and hopefully an encouragement to us. Think about this. That golden altar of incense represents this golden privilege of prayer. And it is located, yes, in that holy place where the priests would do all their work, the sanctuary. It's mentioned in Hebrews 9 as being in the most holy place, along with the ark. Sometimes it's outside the veil, sometimes it's inside the veil. And I think this is beautiful because prayer is exactly this way, or it should be this way. Prayer should cross the line, at least from time to time, from earth to heaven. Our prayers, our prayer meetings should not be so earthbound, should not be so in this realm. There should be in our prayer meetings, and I believe this is why prayer meetings generally have fallen on such hard times, is because it's not this way. Our prayer meeting should be crossing the line, if I can say it that way, into heaven, where we are breathing heaven's air in our prayer meetings, and where we're actually enjoying a glimpse of heaven. When Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, those three, they went up there to pray, and he crossed the line there. The disciples saw him in his glorified state, and there was Moses and Elijah. When we read of in Revelation 8, The golden altar is identified there, the incense, as the prayers of the saints, and it's in the immediate presence of God. Friends, I'm just trying to make the case that this is the only, and this is no accident, I don't think, why the throughout the scriptures you see it in both places. It's because this is the furniture. This is the spiritual discipline that crosses. It sometimes it's on this side, and then sometimes it's on the other side. And you know for yourself, I mean, I think we have enjoyed seasons of this, even in our own prayer times here, have we not? Where it has felt like we were in heaven. Like, it has felt that glorious. There have been times when even our sister Marcia would say, I can taste it. I know what she means by that. I think we all do. There are times when we're so close to heaven, like we feel like we're there. We're just step over the line. We're practically there. And this seems to only happen in prayer. You know, the Puritans, they used to be known as those that, quote unquote, pierced heaven with their prayers. That was the phrase. And don't you know what that means? Of course you do. E.M. Bounds, it was said of him that he prayed a hole in heaven. This is the same idea. And when we talk about this boundary between earth and heaven, the prayer, right, from Isaiah 64 is, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. This is always our prayer. If our prayers, if our prayer meetings are always just sort of in that first compartment, if I can say it that way, and they never seem to cross the line, well, I think we're missing a tremendous blessing. I think prayer is meant to cross the line. And we need to pray that God would rip open, rend that boundary, and come down. Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, remove the boundary. And of course, we can also theologically appreciate the fact that Christ has torn the veil. Yes, so we now have full access into the Holy of Holies. We can come boldly into the very throne room of God, humbly, of course, reverently, but boldly, with full assurance that we are accepted. We're not standing in our own merit. We are standing clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are united to him. We have as much right to be there as Jesus Christ himself. What a wonder. But my point is just the location of this altar. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. I want our prayer meetings, this prayer meeting, and it's not always this way, friends. It's not always this way. Sometimes it's just like plowing concrete. You know it. But if it's true here, it's true in your own churches, and you know that. And it's true in your own private times. It just feels like the heavens are brass. Your words are just bouncing off the ceilings. You're just talking to yourself in an empty room. Oh, we need to cross the line, friends. We need to get into heaven. Oh, that's the difference between day and night in our prayer meetings. If we can enjoy that, you won't have problems filling a prayer meeting or having people wanting to pray. That is the goal. That's the location, the construction, the location. The third thing is the duration of the altar, verses 7 and 8. Aaron shall burn sweet incense. Look it, every morning shall he burn incense upon it. By the way, the incense, the ingredients of the incense, if I can say it that way, is outlined in verses 34 to the end there, 34 and 35 mainly. And it's just interesting. It's interesting that it's all these different things. It's different pieces, different ingredients, and they're all measured the same. You're supposed to use, there shall be a like weight. In other words, equal amounts. And that, of course, right, friends, that speaks of the variety of God's people. If we go with Revelation 8, the incense, the smoke of the incense is the prayers of God's people. And we together, even though we're all a little different here and there, some of us are the, you know, what does it say? The Anaka, the Stacte, the Galbanum, other sweet spices. Some of us are frankincense, but it's all equal weight. Together, it makes something beautiful. According, thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary. There you go. Nice way to say it. Anyway, our prayers together. None of us are second class. None of us are, you know, we're all equal. And when we all come together to pray, it's a very beautiful perfume to the Lord. It is. But the point here is, it's every morning. Look at in verse 8, when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense. Look, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Other translations have it from generation to generation. This is not meant to stop. And this was the convicting piece, because I want to stop. Sometimes you want to stop. We all want to stop. We get tired. We want to take a break. Aaron was commanded, there's no break in this. Every morning, every night. Every morning, every night. Every morning, every night. Forever. From this generation to the next generation. And so, obviously, it's sad when we see prayer meetings stopping in our churches. Right? We lament that. We want to pray for that. But even with this, this is the part where I needed this for me. The 24 hours just about wore me out. Physically, not so much, but spiritually, absolutely. Making me very, very discouraged. We can't. Now, again, this format of the prayer meeting can change. There's nothing sacred about unitedprayer.net. Okay, this is one of many expressions of prayer meetings, but the point just being, prayer meetings must not stop from this generation to the next generation. Okay, so if there are prayer meetings in your church, do your best to support it. Do your best to support it. Even though you're discouraged and you don't want to, do your best to support it. It's not meant to stop. If there are prayer meetings with you and your friends and your families, wherever, anywhere, everywhere, do your best to support it. It's not meant to stop. That's the word for me. It's meant to be a perpetual, that means it doesn't end. Incense throughout your generations. The construction of the altar, the location of the altar, and the duration of this golden altar of prayer.